The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Hello and welcome back to the Potty Plotters Plotcast Podcast. This is season two and it's episode 10. I'm Julia.
And I'm Elaine.
Are you? And we've got Gareth with us, haven't we? We ought to give him an introduction. Yeah. Gareth. We've got Gareth as well.
We have you.
Hello.
Hi.
Right, carry on then.
Right then, in this episode we're going to talk mostly about tomatoes.
Yeah.
But we've included container planted stuff like peas, a bit about recycling and more besides.
Yeah.
So go on then, let's.
Right, okay then, so let's get started. But the first thing is, it's Gareth's speaking part. It would be terrible if
am I doing this all the time now?
Well, you know what? Yes. You know how useless we are at this.
Yeah, and you're slightly good less at edits.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you'd like to get in touch with us, then you can via our social media channels. You can get us on Facebook, Instagram and X at Potty Plotters, TikTok at The Potty Plotters. You can email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk or check out the website pottyplotters.uk. And if you'd like to support the Plotcast and send us a tip, you can do via ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And breaking news, just as we started recording, and I'm not going to do the effects, but literally as we started recording, Rachel popped into my DMs.
Ooh. Oh, look at you, your DMs.
Yes, Doc Martin.
No, she slid into my DMs.
Ooh.
And this is Rachel in Nottingham, and she's sent us some money via Ko-fi. So thank you very much, Rachel. We love you
for
it. And we will be putting it towards the Ko-fi and cakey. Love the advice and the laughs. She's listening to a different podcast.
She's obviously got very confused.
Yeah, I think she's listening to something. I think she's listening to Gardener's World or something.
Yeah,
not a bad thing, really.
But thank you very much, Rachel. So if you would like to sponsor us, it's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And you can leave us a tip and I might buy some gin if we get enough.
Contact the Potty Plotters anytime on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. At Potty Plotters or email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
So we've had lots of messages in, haven't we, Elaine? And we love it when we get messages, and especially when we get photos as well. But we've had a message from Kate, and Kate is an Essex lass, but she has moved to a place called Titchmarsh.
We know an Alan about that, don't we?
Has he got his own village?
He's got his own doll. So they were showing something on the telly last night. They showed an old episode of Would I Lie to You? You know where they bring out possessions?
Yeah.
He has a doll's house that is filled with miniature furniture in the style that he likes as opposed to the style that he has to have at home.
Alan Titchmarsh.
Yeah, this is true. It was a truth. So he's got a full-size doll's house, full story, and he's kitted it out and he's got... His favourite bit is the kitchen with like the little bits of food and stuff.
Oh.
I don't think it's connected to Titchmarsh in Northamptonshire, though. Maybe that's where he's named after.
Some people have funny hobbies. Kate's been in contact and she says, can she have some advice, please? This is her first full growing season and her plot has a lot of clay in with the soil. How would you advise that she deals with this? Up to now, she has stacked a couple of pallet collars on top of one another and filled them with about 40% sharp sand and 60% topsoil ready for carrots and onions. Should she carry on doing that and anticipate the outlay of just buying compost and sand? What would you do?
Well, what I would do is, if you were making your own raised beds, I would do exactly the same as we've done on mine, which is, first of all, dig it over, then layer the first layer of compost. So, cardboard. Put the cardboard right across so that there's no gaps anywhere. And then what I would do is I would then put my horse milk, which is what I've put on. And then I've emptied all of my old plant pots, Julia, full of soil and stuff from last year, actually. Yeah. Poured all that on. And now I'm just about to order a load of sharp sand with topsoil. Now, I'm not going to be planting parsnips or carrots in there simply because they don't like those nutrients that's given from the horse muck. So that's where I'm going to be planting my dahlias.
Right.
So I would think very carefully, because if it is that that's what you're only going to be planting, which is carrots, etc., then I would not, come what may, I would not plant, put in my horse muck. Would you?
No, but if you want to break the clay down, if you've got a plot and you wanted to dig it over, the more you incorporate things like the horse muck and the compost, that will help break the clay down.
It will.
And you can get things to add to the soil that will help break the clay down. The Grow Organic, that is one of the things that I know helps break the clay down. But what I would say is your method, either go in raised beds, and of course, once you've made the raised beds and you just top them up every year, or you go down the no-dig route because you never you're never then bringing up the clay. Yeah. So that would work as well.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you could look at no-dig or you could look at raised beds.
And there's going to be some expenditure.
Yeah.
You know, I think the days of us working allotments for three and a tanner, that's old money, Julia. Well, it ain't going to work anymore. We are going to have to invest, and we have been investing. Yeah. But it's a bit like your house, really. If you don't decorate, just saying, Gareth, that's all. If you don't decorate for years, then...
quite rude. This house was totally redecorated, thank you.
I'm just saying, that was all, in case you'd nodded off. And so if you don't decorate for 20 years, don't expect everything to look prim and proper for that length of time. You do have to invest, and you do have to paint, and you do have to decorate, and you do have to update as we go along. And it's exactly the same with an allotment. So look after it and it will look after you.
So either incorporate some muck and
definitely
into the soil and dig it through, either put some compost or topsoil onto your raised beds or your no-dig beds, and you're good to go. And as long as you're doing that, you should be able to grow most things in that.
Have a go.
We've also had contact from a lady called Jen, Elaine. And Jen is one of the ladies who are on another podcast, and the podcast is called Two Girls, One Plot. And they've been in contact and said, "So, I've just tuned into your episode, as I do every week. Bloody love you guys. And I hear the message someone sent in about not finding a podcast with anywhere near the personality you two do. Well, I don't know what to say about this. I don't think we were that dull. Ha ha ha." Obviously, we have some work to do and can only aspire to be as great as you guys are on your podcast. Winter was a killer when you weren't on. Keep up the fantastic work. And if you fancy tuning into our podcast, clearly, we're open to all feedback, good or horrible. Jen.
Thanks for getting in touch, Jen. And all I can say is down to the talent.
Hi. And,
hello. You beat me to it, Gareth, because that's what I was going to say.
So, Jen, Jen, I can give you the advice. What you need is a good producer.
That's it.
Reins you in, edits out all the stuff that doesn't need to be made.
Yeah.
Keeps you on track.
Yeah.
And what else do I do?
Well, you don't eat anything that we grow.
Which yes, is a great
shame. Buys us cake, though.
Yeah, buys us cake, makes us tea and coffee, and generally guides us.
Yes, But I think everybody's chalk and cheese, aren't they?
You can't grow either.
No, you can't do that. Well, we're like Marmite. I'm sure you're like Marmite. I'm saying Marmite.
What are you talking about? Shall we just move on?
Well, no, some people love Marmite. Some people hate Marmite. Some people love Bovril.
Say that about everybody. I love parsnips. He hates parsnips. What about you, celery? I love celery. You hate celery.
Yeah.
I hate peas. You love peas.
There
he loves peas.
That's all anyway, I'm saying. All I'm saying is what one person likes, another doesn't. So I'm sure lots of people love you, and I'm sure lots of people don't like us, in which case they've turned this off by now.
Not a bad thing.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Container planting.
Yes.
We do talk about it. Other people talk about it. Does it actually work, do you think?
Yes.
So, yes, well, thank you for that, Julia. Short and sweet. I wanted you to expand a little bit. But, container planting. Lots of people talk about it. You see it in magazines and all that malarkey. But I wanted to talk about the reality of container planting, because you said at the beginning of the year, I am not going to grow in containers this year.
Yeah.
And that was going to be your thing for the year.
Yes.
I've continued to do it and I will continue. But why is it that you are not doing it?
Watering.
Okay.
The reason that I decided not to do it, of course, we have got most of our growing at the allotment, and I've got quite a big plot anyway. But can you remember a couple of years ago, we had a really, really hot summer, and it was hard enough to keep on top of watering what was in the ground. Things that are in containers will dry out a lot quicker because they've not got the water source that things in the ground have. So I just was exhausted with all the watering. And sometimes if it's really, really hot, you know, you have to water twice a day.
Right, so that doesn't work for you.
No.
But if it's if that's like it is for you, people at home would have exactly the same experience.
Well, no, because, of course, they've got access to water much more easily in the fact that they've got taps at home.
But they've still got to water
they've
twice
still got
a
to
day.
Water twice
which
a
is
day.
Hard work, yeah, Julia, yeah. If you work all day. You have to do it before you go. Because if it is that you don't do it before you go and you think you'll catch up when you come back, you can guarantee, particularly peas, sweet peas and so forth, they won't recover if you've not watered.
But it does work. If you've not got an area to plant, you've not got a garden, you've not got an allotment, say you've only got a balcony or a small yard, then actually container planting is the way forward because at least you can grow some crops. Thankfully, I'm not in the position where I need to container plant, but there's no reason why you can't. And there's no reason why you pretty much can't grow anything in a container as long as it's big enough.
And it's the right variety.
Yeah.
So what I would say is that sometimes it's about putting things in the right position as well. Because things will die if you put them in the direct sun. It's no different to us. We're likely to faint if you leave each other in the sun.
Now you're
all
wrong
day.
There, because I quite like the sun. I'd sit in it. But as long as you keep bringing me drinks out, I'm happy to sit in the sun.
Right. And that you're not doing anything.
No.
Right, well, nothing new there then, is it? So what I would say is that if you do want to do container planting, get the right variety and the right conditions.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about sweet peas and I love planting sweet peas in big containers.
Yeah.
Now then, they work a treat as long as, if you remember, we move them round the side so they're in permanent shade.
Yeah.
But their feet are in, so the roots are in the shade, their feet are in the shade, but their faces are in the sunlight. Yeah. So they are somewhat protected, and I think that makes a big difference. And that's the same with the peas and the beans as well. Again, we don't grow the full size ones, we grow the dwarf variety. So it's about looking and thinking carefully, because otherwise it's not going to work. It's like putting me in a size 10. I mean, I'm a size 12 now. But anyway,
you'd never guess
if you if you put me in the wrong size, I won't work. I can't breathe, never mind, much more.
I mean, there is other beauty of growing in containers, of course, in the fact that you can move them around.
Fantastic,
so
yeah.
If you find that you put something and it's a bit breezy there, a lot of plants don't like if it's in too strong a windy area. So you can move them, and that is something you can't do if you've planted them in the ground very easily. So, you know, there are benefits to doing it as well.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's the containing of the watering, which is brilliant, because when you when you're watering out on the allotment, the water disperses all over, doesn't it, inevitably. But when you've got things that are in containers, you know that the water is going to dampen the roots for definite. And when you go on holiday, you can move them all into the shade.
Yes.
It goes on, doesn't it? Yeah. So it is worth doing as long as you've got the right thing in the right position. And therefore, I mean, in particular, it's about the shade for me.
Yeah.
The amount of people who stick everything in the sun, they don't like it, not even dahlias, not even me.
Oh.
I know you do, but... it's because you do nothing. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So I am going to be doing the meal barrows.
Okay.
I've said it last week. We're just waiting for a dry patch and a warmer patch. The peas now are round about 3 inches and the broad beans are at least 3 inches. But they are the variety, Little Sutton, or the Sutton rather. They're the broad beans. They're going to go in. And we've got Little Marvel as well as peas.
I'm putting my hand up here just to get a word in.
Yeah, you won't.
Yeah. This year, when you are planting in the wheelbarrow, can you make sure that the wheel actually works and it's not got a flat tire? Because the problem is that whilst I know you like a knackered old barrow with holes in the bottom, when it's got a flat tire, I can't move it, and you just plonked it in the middle of my patio area at the allotment and I couldn't move it then.
I think if we recall, Julia, that was because I was doing all the work outside while you and Gareth were sat in the tangerinery, which is like an orangery but much smaller, just watching. I was freezing to death, you were nice and warm. It must have been nice to have had that chat.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever.
Right, the next thing is, let's talk about tomatoes.
Yeah.
You are the queen of tomatoes. I bow to your experience
thank
and
you.
What you produce.
Oh,
it is amazing.
You.
Nothing out of a tin, nothing out of a bottle. It's straight there. Tell us, right from word go, how to be successful. Yeah. And I noticed that Gareth, yet again, has nudged in with a bit of a prop.
Julia is the queen of tomatoes, yes, as we know. And I just thought that, and I assume we're going to start in the same way as we did last year.
Yeah.
And as you know from the discussions we've had on this podcast about my greenhouse last year, that the successful thing was the tomatoes. Mm. And I thought, well, what I really want to do is grow the same tomatoes again. So I've brought along four little tomatoes. Now, these are the Italian tomatoes. They're Pomodorino. They cost quite a bomb in the supermarket, unless they're on special offer. So what I'd like to do is grow loads of these to avoid having to buy them from the supermarket and give my hard-earned cash to Mr. J. Sainsbury.
And that's a small plum tomato.
Yeah, so at the minute, and they've been doing it for a few years in the supermarket, you can buy packs of baby plum tomatoes. These are the really sweet ones. So as opposed to the ones that are a little bit bitter like the cherry tomatoes, these are really, really sweet. So this probably is why they're so expensive. But thought I'd hand them over and go, okay, start them off and let's plant them in the greenhouse when we get there. So how are we going to do it?
Okay. Well, Gareth obviously knows that he likes these ones, but I love to go through the seed catalogues, Elaine, and read all about them and try new ones. But he knows what he's going to get, even though I've read in the seed
catalogue. He doesn't know what he's going to get, because if he keeps nudging in on all of this, Julia, I'll tell you now.
So can I request that I don't get a round robin this year? Because it definitely wasn't a round robin.
It was a round robin. It was a red robin.
A red robin, right, then. It was a very, very big red robin. If you think about a little red robin, they're only about that big, the little fly ones, and yet that thing was huge. It took over
something
the entire
went wrong, didn't it?
It took over the entire window.
I can't decide whether Elaine gave him something that wasn't a red robin or Gareth did something wrong. I'm inclined to err on Gareth's side on this one, Elaine, but let's move on. Gareth's given us some containers that he's obviously had some fruit in here. And so what we're going to do when we get back to the allotment, crinkle them, make the noise, we'll make that effect. And so we're going to do when we get back to the allotment, we're going to half fill these because they're about, 3 inches deep.
Yeah.
So we're going to half fill them with compost and then we are going to slice his little tomatoes that he's given us and just lay the slices on top of the compost. And then on top of the sliced tomatoes, we're going to sprinkle a little bit of compost. And then I'm going to dampen the compost a little. I know that you don't.
I don't know.
But I'm going to dampen it a little bit with a spray. And then we're going to seal it and make a little greenhouse out of another top that's without any holes. And then we're going to germinate the seeds that are currently in those tomatoes.
Okay, so what we'll do then is go back over this. First of all, you've got this fruit container. It's just a recyclable one that Gareth's very kindly kept. It's got holes in its bottom.
Yes.
Does this need holes in its bottom?
Yes.
Right, and you're going to put multi-purpose compost or compost of any sort. How far up are you going
to go? About halfway, so about an inch and a half.
Lovely. Why are you doing an inch and a half?
I'm doing an inch and a half because I want room for the roots to grow.
So we are going to let them grow as seedlings into this. That's why you're going to do that.
And then we're going to prick them out once they get to a size where probably they've got their first set of leaves, true leaves on.
Okay, so they're going to be in this for quite some time.
Yes,
so then you've cut up Gareth's tomatoes, posh tomatoes.
I'm going to slice them.
Slice them.
Into thin slices.
And put them on the top.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're going to dampen that, then put a little bit of compost on the top. That's lovely. Yeah. Now then, when you've done that, where are you going to keep that? You say you were going to put a top on it.
Yes.
Are you going to put another one with holes in or not? What are you going to do?
I want one without holes in, or if I've not got one without holes in, I'm going to pop it into a clear plastic bag.
Smash it.
And I'm going to then seal it. So I'm going to almost like make a humidity dome.
Okay.
Just to keep the moisture and the heat in. And then I'm going to pop it on my windowsill where it's nice and warm. And probably within about 10 days, they'll start to shoot.
Now, when they start to grow, what should I do? Because you've made it into your humidity tent.
Yep.
Right. Yep. What are you going to do with that then? Do we leave the top on, take the top off?
No. As soon as you start to see the seeds germinating in the tomatoes and they start to appear through the compost, I'm going to take the top off. Because if you don't take the top off, that is going to cause the seedlings to rot and probably suffer from dampening off. So we want them then to be able to breathe and to grow and take in the air.
Right. Another thing is we're going to put a label in and a date so that we know when we've done it. And then after, you say 10 to 14 days, we will come back and we'll be talking about Gareth's tomato plants.
We will.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
So, yes, I did want to talk a little bit more about tomatoes because I keep seeing stuff. I'm not on that social media stuff very often, but the amount of people who keep talking about having grown tomatoes and growing tomato plants so far in advance of us. Now, what are the difficulties that we experience up the plot?
Well, the difficulties are if you take them down the plot too early, and we're seeing people coming up the allotment in about March time with plants in hand. It's too early. We're going to get a frost. They will die. It needs to be kept in a heated conditions for them to grow. And even at that time of year, we've not got enough light in March for them to grow properly. So what you'll find is they become quite leggy. So whilst you might see them on the social medias and everything, people have probably got grow lights, heat mats, all kinds of things to keep them going, to turn them into nice bushy plants. Just leave them a bit longer. Don't panic. There's plenty of other things to worry about and think about growing. So what I do at that time of year, I start thinking about the area that I'm going to plant them.
Right.
So I'm planting them in the ground in my polytunnel. So I'm incorporating lots of horse muck into my polytunnel on one side, and then I just lay the compost on the other side where it's no dig. And I'm just getting the area ready. So when you're thinking about where to plant your tomatoes, you can either plant them directly in the ground, which I love to do because I know there's plenty of moisture in there. But if you're thinking about doing them in tubs, you can do them in tubs. You can do them in the grow bags. You can cut the grow bags in half because generally they're not deep enough, I find, when you plant in. But of course, again, going back to the container planting, if you're doing them in a tub or if you're doing them in a grow bag, you've got to be consistent with your watering with tomatoes, which is where the advantage of planting them the ground comes from. So you have to be careful. I would say the bigger the tomato, the better off you're probably putting them in the ground rather than in the grow bags or the containers. And the reason is because of the moisture that they require and the consistency. It takes a lot of work to get that. And if you've not got that moisture going in at the right time, it's more like the plant is more likely to suffer blossom end rot on the fruits, which is when they get black on the bottom of the tomato. That is because of inconsistent watering. So think about where you're planting them. And then really, it's about selecting the seeds you want to plant at around March, April time.
Okay, well, I have selected mine.
Yes.
So
what
I've
have you
gone
selected?
For Alicante, which is the old-fashioned type, and it's just a standard salad tomato.
Yeah.
I've gone for Red Robin, regardless of what you two say, because I'm going to prove the point that if they're in the right conditions, they are perfect, Gareth.
Yes.
And then I've also got Shirley,
and
Shirley again is a standard salad tomato.
Yeah.
And I've also got some Sun Gold.
Yes,
I knew it was those
words
in a different way. And I've got those as well as Shimmer.
Right.
And Shimmer is a green to orangey stripy one, which we tested when we went to, was it Tatton or Chelsea?
Actually, it was Chatsworth when they did it at
Chatsworth
that year.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, the Shimmer is really interesting because it's almost like a bronzy colour with that kind of shimmery effect. And it had a taste like no other that we tried.
No, it was fantastic.
The Sun Gold are obviously the cherry, yellow, orangey cherry ones, which are very sweet and beautiful. And I always say try a new one every year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. So I'm trialling one that's called, and I'm going to have a look at this. Slatava, and they almost look like sliced in half oranges, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Blood oranges.
Yeah, so I'm going to try them this year, but I am going for my usual Beefmaster, all the cherry different ones that everyone else in the family likes.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're doing loads of hanging basket ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are looking for them, if you are new to tomato growing, and you're a bit unsure about all this pinching out lot that everybody gets all a bit wound up about, have a look for a bush variety.
Now, I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. When you say look for a bush variety.
Yes.
Now, how does anybody look for a bush variety?
Right. Okay. So if you're growing from seed, it will say on the seed packet, it will either say bush variety or it will say determinate variety. If it's a cordon, which are the ones that grow tall and thin and where you have to pinch out, that will say cordon or indeterminate variety. But as a beginner, I would always go for a bush variety because there is no pinching out whatsoever.
Now, what's the difference then? You know, you say there's pinching out and there's not.
Yeah.
Is that the only difference?
One of the main differences, I would say, is that bush varieties have a much shorter cropping period. They tend to crop much closer together. And also, they tend to be restricted more to cherry tomatoes than anything else. So whilst a cordon variety, you can literally have anything from the largest tomato to the teeniest tomato. Bushes are those cherry generally.
And they're the ones that you get in hanging baskets and in containers.
Yes.
So generally speaking, if you've got a balcony, it's the bush variety you're looking for. And if you want one in a hanging basket, like Tumbling Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Muscata.
Yeah.
Something like that. Not mascara.
No, not mascara. Yeah.
Then that goes in there as well. Okay. And we'll come to how to plant those up later in the series, in the season, whatever it might be nowadays.
Yeah.
But not yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Now move on to the cordon variety. Now the cordon variety are the tall ones that you grow generally and you see in all the books. They're the ones that grow tall and you stick them in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that we see generally.
Yes. And they're the ones that people get a bit nervous about because they have to be pinched out to get the most out of them. So some people won't pinch them out. And yes, you'll get tomatoes, but what will happen is you'll end up with lots of leafy growth as well. And so really in pinching out, you'll want in that plant to focus on producing the fruit and then for the fruit to be able to see the light to ripen off. If you leave too many leaves on and too many side shoots, what happens is all the focus goes into them. And of course, you've not got the airflow around them, so you're more prone to having mildew and pests and diseases with them. So it is something that you need practice with, but once you've got it, you've got it. It's dead
easy. So let's start at the very beginning. And obviously, I do want to burst into song, and I won't because everybody's suddenly shaking their heads and looking down. I'm going to go back to the beginning. We are planting Gareth's tomatoes in this container like we've described. Yes. But when it comes to planting from seed, which we know is very, very easy, are all of those varieties planted in exactly the same way to start with?
Exactly the same way. And the seeds may be a little bit bigger or smaller, depending on the variety, but they are all planted in the same way. So as we've suggested with doing the slice ones with Gareth, all we're doing, instead of laying the slices on top of the compost, we are laying the seeds on top of the compost. And
All together, scattered around?
No.
How are we going
what
to do
I
it?
Would suggest is that you leave a gap of around an inch or between each seed. And the reason,
so carefully planting
placing
out
them
on
out,
because
the they are big enough to be able to see and handle.
Yeah.
So place them out, give them a gap of about an inch between them, because that will help you for the next part of the process, which is actually pricking them out. Because if you've got that room around them, then you're not going to damage the root system.
So we'll go back to these containers, because we're going to use these containers. Yeah. You've got about 3 inches. You're going to still put around 2 inches of compost in.
Yeah, about an
more.
Inch and a half. Same that we're doing with Gareth.
Okay.
And then once we've laid the seeds on, then we're going to put a fine layer of compost. Remember, twice the depth of the seed that we're planting, and then put a fine layer of compost on the top. And I'm going to give it a good spray of water to get them to germinate. So, you know, so you can probably see the change in the colour of the compost.
And what are you going to do with regards to keeping the heat in?
Again, I'm going to put another top on the container, or I'm going to put them in a bag, and just so that I create that little humidity dome, let the seedlings come through, but take the top off once the seedlings emerge so that we've got no problems.
Now then, Julia, we've done this for, well, not this, but we've been allotmenting for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And I would say one of the funniest things that ever happened to us is when we've had plant sales before.
Oh, yes.
When lovely, new, enthusiastic people come bouncing through the polytunnel door and say, I've grown all of these, would you like them? And they are anonymous tomatoes.
Yes, yes. So they turn up and they don't know what variety they've planted. And sometimes they can be quite leggy because they usually give us what they don't want. Legginess can be counteracted to a certain extent by burying the stem quite deep, because if you think of a tomato, if you look at it, it's got little furry fuzziness on the outside. That's actually roots, so we can drop them, so we can counteract that. But you can't counteract the problem that you don't know what they are. And really, just by looking at them, they all look the same pretty much. They'll grow at different rates. So, you know, we did used to do lucky dip tomatoes, didn't we? But variety is really important, and it's important with anything that you're growing. Whether it's tomatoes, whether it's cabbages, whatever, you need to write the variety on, because otherwise you don't know what you're planting and how to plant it.
And most importantly, if, for instance, we are doing hanging baskets for Gareth, and we end up putting a cordon variety that will grow up to about 7 foot, that's really not very good.
Well, it wouldn't just carry on growing, because it'd literally just grow and snap off. So we'd have no tomatoes, which would be worse than a 7 foot tomato. Okay.
So it's dead important to write, not tomato, but tomato, then red robin, and then the date that you set the seed. Yeah. And you put the date on, simply then you will know whether or not they've worked. Because after 3 weeks, if they've not come up,
they're not
they've got a problem. Okay, well, that is a basic level of how to get tomatoes started.
Yeah.
From start right the way through to seedling. And then when we come back in probably a fortnight, we'll carry on and we'll carry on talking about what to do now.
Yeah.
So that everybody can be successful with tomatoes. Might even leave one for Gareth.
Hints and tips for shortcuts to success. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
So, Elaine, you've got a hint and tip this week, haven't you, about hanging baskets and bedding plants?
Yeah, well, bedding plants, they're all well and good in hanging baskets, but I just think that it's far better to do a lettuce. So what I do is I now plant lettuces, and then what I do is when they start to come up as plants, I put them in hanging baskets. I think they look lovely, but what's even funnier is slugs can't climb that far.
No, I'm just envisaging your lovely front door, the entrance to your house, and you've got hanging baskets greeting people. Are you sure you don't want to put bedding plants in?
No. A massive iceberg.
She is odd, isn't she? Anyway, well, thanks for listening to this episode, and please do get in touch.
And next time, what we're going to be talking about next time?
Oh, chard.
Ooh, ah.
And you're going to be planting your parsnips, aren't you?
Yep.
And cucumbers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and loofahs.
Yes, let's do both. Yeah, and, they are some of the best things you can grow, I think. I suppose. Gareth, do you like them?
What, cucumbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. We had cucumbers last
time. Of course I do, he says. Yeah, likes everything.
Anyway, so we're going to finish this now, because Gareth says if we finish early, we can go and play with the cat. Come on, then.
I'm glad you've said it like that.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters is an Amberland Media production.